With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Awesomes. Welcome back to Awesome Today. I'm your host, Meg Teets, and I am ever so thankful to be joined this Monday by my...
Everyone's turkey leftovers from Thanksgiving.
Ours are still languishing in the fridge. I am joined by my favorite turkey leftover, my all-the-time husband and sometimes co-host, Kyle. Hi.
And most of the time, gravy.
Ooh, okay.
I am the gravy in your life.
You are the gravy and the turkey.
I'm the gravy that stains your white t-shirt.
Well, awesomes. I hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday if you're in the U.S.
I hope if anyone in your family was arrested, it wasn't you.
That's a good hope to have for the people.
Yeah. Don't rob. So to me, look. Police have to work.
Yeah.
They got to work.
Well. Or else they're just bored.
They have shifts. They're supposed to work them. They're assigned them.
Yes.
And that means, would you want to go work a shift where you got to literally not do your job and enforce the law somewhere?
I don't know.
Thanksgiving is a boon.
Yes.
It's a delight. It's an arrest festivus.
It probably gives them all their best stories for the year to come.
A lot of them.
It's Christmas come early.
Well, and then Christmas comes again later. It's a special time of the year.
Indeed it is.
Them. So I hope they got to arrest plenty of people, and that no one was harmed. Well, none of the police officers were harmed in the process.
And none of the awesomes.
Directly.
Of the Today family.
Indirectly, it probably needed to happen.
Oh, how quickly you have changed your tune. You started out by saying that I hope none of you got arrested.
Yes, but I said indirectly. That means not them. Okay. Per se, getting arrested, but someone in their family.
This took a real turn. Let's get back on track.
Listen.
What's...
Incarceration is good.
Nope. Let's get back on track.
I am on track.
You're off the rails and...
I'm on track down to the county jail.
Okay. You don't want to go to the Oklahoma County Jail. Trust me when I say...
I have a ministry down there. I do.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know where it is.
That's not true. I just don't know how to get there by myself.
Okay, that's the truest thing you've ever said. I'm just going to leave it at that. That's funny. That's a funny insight into...
It made it funny when you said it was funny. Then everybody was like, oh, yeah, that was funny.
Whoa. First of all, no.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Second of all, calm down.
Listen, you're in jail. I've called the police.
Third of all,
the 911 operator's listening right now.
Ooh, we've talked
She's
about
a
this.
Time fan.
We've talked about this before. How stressful of a job it would be to be a 911 dispatch.
Oh man, can we segue from that? Skip the normal order. of Watch, Read, Listen lifestyle.
Okay.
And, well, no, I guess we're not. We're going directly into Watch.
Oh, what have you been watching?
Well,
911 Dispatch?
Yes.
Okay.
But not directly. That okay. like wasn't the name of the show.
Okay.
On Netflix, I believe it's in the top 10.
Oh, yes.
I watched Killer Sally.
Yes. I sideways watched it.
This is set.
Which means I was listening, but not watching.
Right. This is set mid through mid-90s, technically through current, but the hottest action was mid to late 90s.
And by set, let's give context. If you're not familiar with Killer Sally, it is a true crime docu-series on mm-hmm. Netflix. Yes. True crime. Yes. It's a real thing that
it's
happened.
It's a true story.
Yes.
Listen, it's hard. Oof. It's hard to watch. There's some tough parts, and I don't fault
very
anybody.
It's
not your gig. Yeah. There was a moment, and I feel like it was somewhere around half to three quarters of the way through the series, where we were listening to the 911 footage.
Yeah.
So ultimately, I guess, and this isn't a spoiler to anything.
No.
Sally and her husband were both ex-Marines, and both of them were avid participants in bodybuilding.
Yes.
The bodybuilding world. I believe right. he went as high as being Mr. California.
Yes.
He was definitely a budding prodigy. They had a lot of really rough marital issues. She ended up killing him, and that's what this whole docuseries is about.
Right.
And so the 911 call is after
yes.
the event had taken place, and oof. She's calling the police, and the call itself was just wildly awkward, and not because of her.
No.
Because of the 911 operator.
Well, yes.
Which I'm sure was doing exactly what,
well, yeah.
what she'd been coached to do. It was weird, that part, by itself. The whole show was...
It's like sad. Said,
it's tough to watch. It's very sad. It's very interesting.
Yeah. We watched it pretty much last night. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to read, but I was also listening, and at the end of it, you just looked at me and you're like, that was really sad. And
yeah.
I would agree with you on that. Sometimes, you know, I don't really watch a lot of true crime. I like to listen to true crime on podcast, but I don't really watch a lot of it.
Do you do that so that you can run through the downstairs pretending that it's you the police are chasing?
Yes, that's my motivation.
That's a good exercise program.
It is. It really is. I don't really watch a lot because it makes it too real to mm-hmm. see the people and those types of things. But sometimes you'll watch a true crime thing and you come to the end of it and you're like, wow, what a wild story. But this was not one of those. I mean, it was mm-hmm. as far
pretty
as...
pretty wild story.
Yeah, as far as docu-storytelling goes, it was well told, I feel like. But golly, just all of the people in it just had very hard lives and very tough yeah. circumstances. And it was just... It was tough.
It was tough. One of the things I found quite interesting... and this is not something that I've ever seen on a documentary before, is that, you know, as they moved through, because of course you're going to talk to have interviewed the former best friend, all of that.
For sure.
But they had brought in, I think the one of them that was the most interesting to me was a news personality who was one of the main ones who'd been like a lead coverer of this story as it was happening live.
Diane Diamond.
Yes. And for her to offer then in retrospect, hey, we didn't know anything
yes.
about these type of issues
yes.
back then. And knowing what I know now, I'm embarrassed
right.
about what I did back then. But that is what we were told to do back then.
Now, that is a whole interesting side part of
yeah.
this, the way this story is told. So this incident between the two of them happened on Valentine's Day, 1995. The reason that sticks in my mind is because that's when I graduated from high school.
That's
although
the first time you tried to kill me.
I didn't even know you then. I was a mere child of 17. But truly, to hear her, a seasoned journalist who has covered tons of true crime,
yeah.
To hear her reflect back on, like, that is how we told these stories at the time. And to be, like, have been, I was only 17, but I was cognizant enough
yeah.
of the way these narratives played out in the media to hear a journalist reflect back on, like, this is how we covered them at the time, and to say, and I regret
yeah.
that is how
yeah.
these stories were told at the time.
If you think about it, if you're a person who's fortunate enough to have had the life experience to have lived through that era, the 90s,
yeah.
in a at least semi-adult mind frame, then you recall O.J. Simpson and Lorena Bobbitt and on and on and on. And that was something that was referenced too, all of this going on. And it was a very different world.
Yep.
This, honestly, it was a period where the role and the expectation of what a woman was supposed to be began to change dramatically.
Uh-huh.
It was just really, there was a lot of really interesting things there. If you can knuckle through some of the harder parts of the story.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, that was Killer Sally on Netflix. We've continued to go back and revisit Ancient Apocalypse.
It's so hard to finish.
Because it's so sleepy.
It's so sleep-making, but it is amazing.
Yeah.
This is, I think, honestly, this has got to be top five for the year for me.
Wow.
I find it that fascinating.
Dadgum.
Yes.
Okay.
You need a little bit of nerd in you to appreciate some of what they're doing, but
sure.
I feel like all of us have got a little bit of inner nerd.
Hell yeah.
That got oddly sexual.
I didn't mean for it to. Okay.
You like a nerd?
Well, I was going to say, speaking of nerdy stuff.
Let me go get my glasses. I can pull my pants up and have the high waters and all the things that nerds do.
Yes.
The nerds of our youth, anyway.
Of course, yes.
I don't know what nerds do nowadays.
They have TikTok accounts that are wildly popular.
Okay. I don't know if I can do that.
Okay. I'm going to skip ahead in our notes, but we can go back and revisit some. But speaking of more, I don't want to say nerd, but maybe more academically pop culture persuaded pursuits. Okay, I don't know why I made that phrase so awkward.
It's fine.
I did start watching Wednesday on Netflix.
Yes, you did.
So Wednesday,
not on Wednesday,
right?
But you were, the show called
Yes
Wednesday in reference to,
it's a Netflix original series that follows Wednesday Addams of the Addams Family. Yes, yes.
Gotta get the two claps in there.
It's a, how can I say this? I don't know what the proper terminology is. Maybe you can help me workshop this.
Okay.
There is a trend in of the 2000s, especially the era that we're in right now, where you take a character from an iconic universe, a fictional universe, and you isolate their story or you create new story for
them. It's like organized fanfic.
Okay, yes, exactly. Enola Holmes on Netflix is another example. This imagining of what if Sherlock Holmes had a sister, and it was Millie Bobby Brown, 11, from Stranger Things, and she plays Enola Holmes, and it's like this: you take these different perspectives of well-known stories, and you bring new imagination to them.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Wednesday is. It's this idea that Wednesday Addams, daughter of Gomez and Morticia Addams, the most epic love story of all time.
Indeed.
That she can't fit into regular school, and so her parents take her to a
Hogwarts,
a sort of Hogwarts, a supernatural accepted boarding school of sorts, where Morticia herself went to school. Yes, and that once there, Wednesday discovers there's these murders that are happening, and there's supernatural reasons. Kyle, I need to pump myself full of caffeine so that I can actually stay awake to watch this. Maybe I need to make this a daytime
binge. Maybe this should become your morning devotional. Your power hour before the day starts.
I am fully on board with that because you know that my peak time of mental clarity is first thing in the morning.
Well, technically it's from 4:37 until 6:30, because that's usually almost on the dot when Nico Gus wakes up and wakes you up.
Nico loves,
but then
that
once you're up, he's like, "All right, I did my job. I'm going back to sleep."
Yes, and I'm not. Wednesday is so well done. The actress who plays Wednesday Addams, and I'm so apologetic. I did not put this in the notes. She is brilliant. Now, most people, of course, are like, who could beat Christina Ricci as Wednesday Addams, who originally played them in the 1990s movies?
Amazing job.
Of course, and fantastic. And Christina Ricci is in Wednesday. Did I tell you that?
Shut up.
She has a role in Wednesday, which is magical.
Is she Professor Snape?
I can't remember. No, she's not Professor Snape. I mean, that's a different universe, but I can't remember
what
her role.
But is she that character?
Maybe. But Wednesday's parents, Gomez and Morticia, are played by Luis Guzman, who you know that mm-hmm. name, you know the face. Mm-hmm. And then Catherine Zeta-Jones plays Morticia. She looks amazing.
I can see her being
all of the money Morticia. In the world has been poured into Catherine Zeta-Jones's aging gracefully. Mm-hmm. She looks fantastic. Okay, anyway.
Any nudity?
Not that I've come across so far. I don't think it's that kind of show.
We'll keep our fingers crossed.
I don't even think Gomez and Morticia are in it. It's really like they're kind of in the jumping off point scene, but it's really about Wednesday herself. And the...
Yeah, I didn't mean I wanted to see kids nude. That's weird. And that's not where I was going.
The aesthetic of the show is incredible.
I have a question.
Wait, I have to say one more thing. Tim Burton is one of the directors and maybe one of the showrunners of this, so you can imagine it's just like brilliantly done. What's your question?
So, different shows, if you pay attention.
Yeah.
And it's stunning to me when you're, I'm not saying this is what you should do, enjoy the show.
Yeah.
But especially during a rewatch, if not before. If you pay attention, different shows use very specific lighting filters to create the mood around what's going on. And I was curious if you'd noticed in this, is there a lighting filter or effect so that there is an overarching color or warmth or coldness or mm-hmm. thing to the show?
Well, that's an interesting thing because I do know in the opening scenes where it's showing how different Wednesday is from her classmates, I do feel like as she's walking through the halls of her very mainstream, very normal high school, all of the kids are dressed in these brights, in these pastels, and it's like really amplified, really saturated color so that Wednesday's bleakness, mm-hmm. her emo-ness, her
sticks out more.
Black, white, and grayness, yes, is very noticeable.
Just... back of mind, not even side mind.
Okay.
Back of mind. Next episode you watch. Uh-huh. Keep an eye towards just the general lighting of the show, as well as are there scenes where all of a sudden the lighting has changed significantly.
Okay.
And if you can do that and remember, because it's a long time from here until the next recording.
Yes.
I'd love to hear about it.
Okay, thank you. Also in Netflix, we've dabbled in The Playlist, which is a foreign-made Netflix original about the creation of Spotify.
Yes.
Did you finish this?
No.
Me neither.
I wanted to.
Yeah.
So badly. The dubbing is not great.
You love the dub.
Characters, sure. I normally do. The characters are really squirrely.
Yeah.
It's like we're spoiled here. When it comes to visual entertainment,
mm-hmm.
that anybody, unless they are by design as a character supposed to look weird,
yeah,
they're beautiful people.
Yeah.
And here the lead of the show, but everyone in the show, they look too, they're like, let me regather myself.
They're like too realistic.
So, almost, but don't steal all my thunder.
Okay.
There's, of course, in American cinema, you have the everyman, the everywoman,
mm-hmm.
who, but even still, they're beautiful average, right?
Yeah.
Something about them, unique, interesting, there's something about them. But I don't see this in foreign productions.
Yeah.
And in fact, in this one in particular, everyone there was weird, like below average, weird, normal looking, the lead, the protagonist. His hairline is like in the middle of his skull back on his head, and I couldn't get past that.
It was very distracting.
And he's young.
Yeah.
It was bizarre.
It's very distracting.
Super bizarre. I'm sure he's hotter than gefilte fish over there. Yeah. I think that's a thing in Sweden, isn't it?
I don't know.
Somebody feel free to fact check me on that. That made it too hard. I have no doubt the story's good and interesting. What I could tolerate was, but I just couldn't finish it.
I do think it's interesting, and I do want to kind of power through it if I can, because Spotify plays such a huge central role in the life of our family.
Yeah.
We do have the family premium account because
that's where
all of us
responsible for the conception of our last three children. Probably not true.
All of us, every single one of us, maybe not the boys, but AJ, Daisy, me, you, we all have our accounts that are constantly used and filled with our own musical taste. It's so, like, I can't even imagine what we would be doing for music.
An anti-Spotify universe.
Yes.
The bizarro world.
The bizarro world. Okay, Pepsi, Where's My Jet is also very popular on Netflix.
You get in a hurry when you're talking about things that you didn't put on the list.
Pepsi, Where's My Jet?
Thank you for humoring me.
It's another Netflix docu-series or documentary.
Something. I never would have watched this. I wouldn't have picked it off the list. But one night, I came in to lay down to go to sleep, and you had done so before I had, and this was on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was kind of like back when we used to watch TV with commercials.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I can't stop watching this, and
yes.
You keep doing, and then you even sit through a commercial break and you keep watching it. It's for anybody that's seen Tommy Boy.
Yeah,
it's the moment where they're in the car and music comes on the radio and neither one can say they don't want to hear it, and
yes.
So they end up listening to songs they hate but then singing along passionately.
Yes,
it's that feeling.
Right. Good.
It's a lot of explanation.
I haven't finished it. It's wildly popular on Netflix. I might go back and watch it. I don't know.
It's interesting, for sure.
I will make Wednesday a priority ahead of Pepsi.
Sure.
Where's My Jet?
Sure. I think the value of most of these shows, other than Ancient Apocalypse,
mm-hmm.
I can't speak for Wednesday. I haven't watched it. But the value of these aren't, hey, here's your first next pick. It's like when you've watched all of Netflix that you can, and you've got to wait 8 yeah. to 12 months for the next season of whatever to drop.
Yes.
These are great shows to plug in.
That's true. Watch Read. I got to tell you, I'm still out of the reading mode. I did read a fanfic last night that lulled me off to sleep. That was highly entertaining.
Okay.
You don't like it. We'll keep going past that. Listening wise.
But you should talk about it. It doesn't matter if I like it. This isn't my show. I'm just here to interrupt and criticize.
It's going to make you uncomfortable.
Talk about it. I'll tell myself happy stories.
As everyone who pays attention knows, my favorite fictional universe to delve into the fanfic is the Potterverse.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite central story of fanfic is Dreary, which is Draco and Harry in romantic relationship.
With each other?
Yes.
I have no idea this even existed.
What the hell? You have literally not been paying attention.
I don't think you've ever talked about this to me. The only thing I've ever seen
those
lines is the deal, Photoshop deal, where they put Malfoy's face on Miley Ray Cyrus or somebody, and I don't know. It's a really creepy meme that's out there. I don't know who anyone is. I don't know their names, but I knew that.
Okay.
That's all I knew along those lines.
Well, Draco and Harry is the ultimate enemies to lovers trope, and there are tens of thousands of fanfics, as you can imagine, for how long Harry Potter as a series has been around.
Mm-hmm.
So the one I read last night is what's called an eighth year Hogwarts fic, which it envisions and imagines the idea that all of the characters come back to Hogwarts to finish their last year post Voldemort Wizarding War. Okay.
Yeah.
And in this particular fic, Draco is trying to prove himself by, like, not just going, like, he's always was excellent in academics, but he wanted to, like, he felt like as a former Death Eater, he had to, like, really prove his goodness and his worthiness. Okay.
So is this soundtracked by Rick Astley?
Singing.
Never Gonna Give You Up.
No. There's lots of Dreary soundtracks on Spotify.
That's not Dreary.
Dreary. Draco and Harry.
Okay.
Relationship, not Dreary.
You're sad you brought this up now.
I am not sad. You're sad that you made me talk about it. Anyway, Draco is taking this class where he is experimenting with different ancient spells that are in Latin,
mm-hmm.
and thinks he has interpreted the Latin the correct way, but he hasn't. And as it turns out, he needs Harry's help to get himself unspelled from the spell he accidentally cast on himself.
Which does what?
Makes it to where Draco can only ask questions. Like, it makes him physically ill if he doesn't speak in questions.
What a miserable life.
And
wouldn't it be?
It's written by one of my favorite fic authors from the Dreary fandom. I loved it so much. Although it was comforting enough to put me to sleep last night, and then I woke up and read it, the ending, the first thing this morning.
Okay,
so.
Okay.
So, aren't you sad you asked?
No. Okay. Just because I'm not into what you're into doesn't mean I don't care.
Okay. Thank you. Listening-wise, this is something else I know for sure you're not into, and I can't stop talking about it, is, and I've talked about this in several places, the Beyond the Blinds podcast.
Yes. No, I'm interested, but okay. I'm more interested in hearing you talk about it than I am.
Like, you don't want to listen to over an hour of them reading blind items, but you like for me to encapsulate them for you.
Yes, I like the more succinct reporting.
Okay. Well, I hate to ruin everyone's holiday season, but one of their more recent episodes, in fact, I think it just came out on Thanksgiving, is a deep dive into Tom Hanks' blind items.
Which was fascinating to me.
It was so good. If you love...
He's a man whore.
If you love Tom Hanks and you don't want your image of him ruined, please feel free to skip ahead a little bit. But the highlights are, yes, he and Rita both, I mean, they don't have a technically open marriage, but there's not a lot of fidelity going on.
Yeah, it's not open.
Exactly. Yes, that's the way to say it, for sure. Also,
they're not looking for partners. So if you got excited, mark it back off your list again.
One of the blind items is that he has a real thing for women's shoes, not just feet. I mean, that's pretty pedestrian. Oh, my.
Whoa. Are you a dad? That was dad that joke was... gold.
I literally didn't even know until I was saying it. But it is pretty basic to have a foot fetish. But
it's he. His, he brings Hollywood class.
His is more about their shoes and the scent, the smell, the odor.
He's a shoe sniffer.
Yes, he's a shoe sniffer. The blind item I found the most compelling, and I shared this with you with great passion and fervor, is that behind the scenes, behind this very squeaky clean, very charming, very affable, very like everyone's favorite man image that he's perfected over the years, is that Tom Hanks has an incredibly volatile, violent temper.
And both of us immediately thought to what?
The Burbs.
The Burbs. The very end.
Yep. At the very end. The Burbs is a 1990s low-key cult classic. It's not often talked about as one of his finer feats of cinema.
I think it's a bigger breakout role than Bachelor Party, personally.
Well, I mean, I think this is after Bachelor Party.
Yes, I know it is. I'm saying so many people, at least in my familiarity, would have demanded Bachelor Party was his breakout role.
Okay.
Now, definitely it got him seen.
Yeah.
And got him some other roles. But to me, The Burbs is a special witch's brew of majesty that he's, I don't know if he's reached it since.
It's fantastic. To plot it on a timeline of well-known Tom Hanks films, it is post-Big, but pre-When Harry Met Sally.
Yes.
And so this was like a family staple in my family of origin, and I drew you into the watching of it.
I mean, I'd seen it, and I'd enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And in fairness, so we all have our compromises, right?
Yeah.
I don't know that I was interested in watching it again, but because you guys viewed it alongside of A Christmas Story, National Lampoon's, it was part of the annual rewatch.
I know literally every word of the dialogue to this day.
So in terms of quote unquote sacrificing for whoever it is in your life that's interesting to you, when you made the suggestion of we could watch The Burbs, that felt like a very non-threatening, like, oh, look, I can agree to that. It looks like I won and I actually like it. Ha ha, joke's on you. I actually liked it. Mm-hmm. So, but then, we have, as a family, have watched it,
what,
50 times in the last 25 years?
For sure.
Probably 40 of those were in the first 5 years of our marriage.
Because we didn't have streaming services back in those days.
But we did own that.
Yes.
On VHS.
On VHS. And so to circle back to this blind item that he's has this incredibly violent temper that he goes into actual blind rages where he can't remember. He claims to have no memory of the destruction he's done while he's in one of these rages.
It's a great defense.
Yes. We both instantly thought of one of the closing scenes of The Burbs where he has a complete meltdown and throws the ambulance stretcher in the back of the ambulance.
Right, the gurney, whatever
call it. Yes. And we were talking about that, and you made the point that, like, to be able to tap into that level of absolute insanity over something that is not.
Yeah, you have to know it.
Yeah.
You have to know it to draw on it.
Yes.
Nobody's that good of an actor. You can't completely feign. And I guess to speak to that,
yeah.
What's the actor's name that plays Michael Weston in?
Jeffrey Donovan,
who we've watched a ton of. We just saw a preview for a movie he's in where he's playing a Western person. It is more awkward than wearing assless chaps backwards.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad.
Yeah.
And that's awkward. Think about it a little bit if you need to.
Yeah. So anyway, I've been listening to it a lot.
You were entertained by
I was thinking about the preview that we saw of that movie and how deeply disturbing it was. And I was like, I never want to watch this because I want to live in a
I would like to deport that movie.
Yes.
Is it possible?
In a Burn Notice pure universe, and just that's where we dwell. Okay, anyway, I've listened to, because I was doing a lot of cleaning and cooking and prepping for Thanksgiving, I've just mainlined Beyond the Blinds. I've listened to so much celebrity gossip. If you name a person, I can tell you, like, oh, here's the real scoop on them. Now, you listen to something much more erudite, much more academic.
Great vocabulary, by the way.
Thank you. I do have a degree in English, so I do.
You do.
I do pull that out every now and again and dust it off. What did you listen to that was much more academically stimulating?
So, there's a delightful podcaster. His name is Niels Karstrup Lawson. He has the old hyphenated last name. He is foreign birth, and I'm a loser. I can't remember what country. I feel like perhaps Switzerland, but I could be wrong. Well, his normal podcast is called Top Traders Unplugged. Big surprise. It talks about things that I'm interested in for my industry. But one of the things that I really appreciate about Niels is that he does, when he can get them, he brings in guests that speak to economy, that speak to a myriad of different things around money, and quite often finds someone who can explain a thing in a way that it's like, oh, well, that makes a lot more sense than what Papa said at the dinner table.
Yes.
So he had a guest, and I believe the episode dropped in October. I've looked briefly, and I've exhausted myself, and I won't find it, so you have to find it yourself if you're interested. He has, as a guest, and it's actually a sub-production of the company, Top Traders Unplugged, but there's a guest whose name is Richard Duncan, who's written a book about this, and what I found fascinating, because I grew up in an era where every old man wanted to bitch about the fact that when we went off the gold standard, the whole country went to hell, and we need to balance the budget as a government and all these things. Richard Duncan explains how.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Once we moved off of the gold standard, that basically then everything you would use to judge, evaluate how to have a healthy functioning economy, well, it's all garbage now because this is a different system and different things make it work. And it was just really interesting. It kind of helped bring some perspective to what our government does around monetary policy and interest rates and spending and taxing and all these things.
Yeah.
I found it peace-bringing.
Yes.
Whereas before I would have been agitated because they aren't following the rules, but they are. They're following different rules. You don't have to agree with the rules.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree with the system. You just have to know this is the system and it does have different rules. And it's a really interesting thing.
Okay. you and I talked about it a little bit more in depth even, and it really was eye-opening.
Yes.
Even for someone like me, who is generally ignorant of these things.
Not generally disinterested is the fairer term.
Okay. It was still interesting, though. You gave me the encapsulation like I gave you the Tom Hanks.
Yes, well, I'm...
Nuggets of truth.
I'm not interested in Tom Hanks, although I'd prefer to never see him sniff a woman's shoe. Or a man's shoe. Or a child's shoe. Any shoes.
Another thing...
Even his own shoe.
Moving into the man with one red shoe.
Well, he sniffed the other one so much he couldn't wear it anymore.
That's a Tom Hanks movie, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Good throwback.
Yes.
All back? Something.
All of the backs.
Something with a back.
Yes. Switching into lifestyle, another thing you explained to me this week is what's the takeaway from the more and more infamous by the day FTX blow up, meltdown,
blow
fall
up.
Apart?
Blow up's a fair word.
Okay. And this has to do with the realm of cryptocurrency.
Cryptocurrency. Nobody knows what the hell it is or how it works.
Right.
And especially those who demand that they do.
Yeah.
Sam, it's either Bankman-Fried or Bankman-Fried. It's another one of those hyphenated last names.
Yeah.
He started two companies, FTX, which is a cryptocurrency proper. And then I cannot remember precisely if it's Alameda, something along those lines, that was a connected trading firm.
Yeah.
Domiciled in...
The Bahamas.
I believe he's an MIT grad.
It's one of the East Coast...
One of the smart places, people would claim.
Yeah.
Both parents, I think, economists or some type of professor, mm-hmm. whether economists or not, both professors of some kind.
Okay.
Really interesting thing. Oh, and he's, for the last couple years, because all of this is relatively new, I feel like it was somewhere between 2018 and 2020 that really everybody recognized, here's a baby without a pacifier, what's happening? Who's young.
Yeah.
Just recently, I think, turned 30 or something.
Yeah.
And was worth, a few weeks ago, he was worth over $15 billion. And
right.
Within 5 days, as the news reporters would say, his net worth was no longer substantially measurable.
Okay.
So that's a pretty big wipeout in the course of a few days.
And since not a lot of people, including myself, understand really what's going on in the world of cryptocurrency, you gave me a really great analogy.
Well, I wish I could take credit for it. I read it from someone else, and I'm a loser that did not capture the name to give credit to them. But whoever they are, whoever you are out there, I'm giving credit to you.
Yes.
If, in fact, you are one of the awesomes or someone they know, then
please
just receive my nod.
Yes.
It's there. I don't know if you could hear it. I just
It was a silent a nod. To them. It was a visual for me nod.
Yes. My neck didn't crack, so you couldn't hear it.
Yes.
Although my neck hurts. Maybe you should massage my neck. Go ahead. I'll wait.
No. Tell us the real estate analogy.
Okay. I thought this analogy was beautiful. They discussed, let's say that you, Meg, you own 100 houses in a neighborhood.
Okay.
You own them all. It's
yes.
every house in the neighborhood. You own them all. What are they worth? Well, how's real estate value determined?
Comps.
Most recent transactions of
right.
some relatable house, right?
Right.
Well, these houses are all identical. And so there is a transaction. There's a singular transaction that's occurred for $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then according to comps, your worth is $100 million,
okay.
or technically $99 million since you sold one of them, right?
Right.
And then you would use that as collateral to take loans, to do all kinds of things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as long as the comps match for basically what your collateral is for the loan, nobody's worried, and as long as you're making payments and all of that. And it's kind of similar to what happened here, except that this singular house transaction that set the price point for what your valuation is, well, that was completed by him and his team.
Okay.
They transacted in the cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
At a rate.
Okay.
That demanded then that the shares be worth this amount, because that's what they recently settled at.
Okay.
Which created a net worth on something completely pretend, by the way.
Very...
There is no physical thing to cryptocurrency.
Yes. Okay.
And so all of a sudden, he's worth, not all of a sudden, I mean, it took some time in several of these transactions, but theoretically, all of a sudden, he's worth many billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And borrowing against that and buying properties and doing things. And so that was kind of part one of what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
Then part two was that they'd done some pretty juvenile things. By the way, that first explanation, that's not a new con.
Oh.
That's an ancient con.
Okay.
It's regulated in other industries. Just mm-hmm. crypto's one that's been slow to get a more robust regulatory body, which to me is fine.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of regulators. I feel like Darwin and his friends helped sort this stuff out pretty quickly, too. But that's just me.
Okay.
Part two is that this other side company, again, I may be misquoting the name, Alameda Research or something. Well, somehow they were recording client assets from FTX and using that as leverage to trade upon at the other company. You can't double dip like that.
Okay.
When the news came out about that portion,
yes,
that's when there was a rush on the bank, if you will.
Okay.
And that's where valuations went from billions of dollars to nothing significantly reportable.
Okay.
Now, fascinatingly, and I'm not saying this is a political statement.
Yeah.
I have no political interest, period, in the world. Other than, is there a way to do away with politics and politicians? I don't know. Softly and gently. I don't want to hurt anyone.
Right.
Anyway, he, in the last few years, has given tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars towards a specific party
mm-hmm.
that helped through midterms, because his bankruptcy was directly after midterm elections.
Right, yeah.
And had pledged another $1 billion towards the upcoming presidential election, making him second only to, again, I won't say names because I don't want to lean on anybody's political party here. That's not what this is about. Second only to what anybody who kind of tracks this would recognize as the biggest name in political donations.
Okay.
Period. Mm-hmm. For the last good while.
Yeah.
Just kind of interesting. And then, the blowback in the aftermath, where people who have lost millions of dollars themselves are like, oh, hey, political party who just received all of this that was technically an illicit loan that he took because nobody regulated him. How about now you give back those campaign donations to us who lost our money?
Uh-huh.
Which is a valid... It'll never fly.
It's a valid question, but it's an unrealistic expectation.
It's a valid jab in the old gizzard.
Yes. Interesting.
I'm quite confident for in the months, weeks, months, even perhaps quarters of time.
Yeah.
We'll have tons of podcasts and articles and things around this whole story.
Wait.
Unpacking it.
I cannot wait for the limited podcast series.
There'll be a Netflix too.
Oh, a Netflix, all of it. Yes. To just dig up that dirt and tell us the whole story.
Where you at, NPR? A little too close to home. You won't talk about that one? Because
no.
They are political.
Yes, but that I don't think they were invested in FTX. I don't know. Maybe they were.
You might be surprised all the things that went on there.
Okay.
Like I said, as it unfolds, I think we'll all look for... We'll need two handfuls of pearls to clutch. So beyond our own, we'll need to find other pearls.
Yes, it's true. We had two surprise circumstances overtake our...
Well, three.
Three? One's not a surprise.
So much a surprise. It's a repeat event.
One is the non-surprise, the repeat event, the thing that we're just like, why do we have to get so good at this?
Every time it gets cold, Meg is the Pied Piper of mice.
The mouse invasion.
They all show up. Now, what's changed, though? What is unique and different? In years gone by, when we've had mice, as the weather snapped cold, they were how big?
They were mouse size. Teeny, tiny.
Teeny. Like, not nose to tip of tail, but nose to butthole. Like, inch and a half, 2 inch?
Yeah, they were tiny enough that there was a moment in time where you caught two of them in a in a classic snap trap at the same time.
It took both of them to trigger it because they were so small.
Yes.
The weight wasn't enough from one.
Yes.
Yes. In fact, that happened more than once.
Yes.
Don't cheat me out of my glory status as the multiple mouse-killing man.
Yeah. Well, those glory days are in the past,
They're
my love.
Over. These fat bastards... And yes, I'm fat shaming those mice.
Yeah.
They're huge.
They're not rats, technically.
They're not technically rats. They're mice, but they are easily nose to butthole, 4 inches long.
Yeah.
And a good, 2 inch diameter?
Yeah.
Fatties.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't even have enough food here to make them that fat.
Why,
I don't
how
know
are they
what
living?
They're doing.
You told me the other morning when you were making coffee, you heard one under the oven.
Yeah.
And it sounded like he had a bag of chips.
Sounded like he had a whole bag of chips under there. He was unflapped by, I was kicking the oven and moving stuff, trying to be like, hey, get out of here. He would not go. He was just like, I'm fine.
I got my chips. Who knows what's under there? Anyway.
We've caught six.
I was going to say, the past week, since we last recorded, 6 mice have died in our house.
I don't think it's unfair to say six pounds of mice.
No.
6 pounds of mice meat.
No. But it's been, we're back at it again. Again, why do we have to be so good at this?
I don't know.
We haven't covered, because we went through like a very befuddling time of all of our previous...
It's when we transitioned from regular mouse to mutant.
Yes. All of our previous tactics and approaches and like our proven formula, it just wasn't working anymore. And
Peanut butter was like a no fail. And you didn't even have to refresh it. I think I caught a dozen mice on one baiting of peanut butter.
Exactly.
It was like, show me, where's death? It has peanut butter, I'll die.
Exactly. Now, we have figured out a new formula.
We have. It was through much internet research.
Internet research, trial and error, wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Yes.
We have finally discovered that the combo of grape jelly.
Mm-hmm. And cheaper the better.
And a little morsel of dry dog food.
Yep. So it's like a little nest of grape jelly with a little dog food cube nestled into it.
They can't resist it.
They can't. They will come, even if they've got a bag of chips under the stove,
yes.
They're like, hang on, this is safe. I got to go get my jelly dog food.
Sorry, that was my hair.
You just headbutted the microphone.
I hit the mic with my hair, you guys.
Are you Killer Sally?
I am, and can't you tell? But seriously, we've just been trapping him and
eating him.
No, setting him up and knocking him down. So that happened. But the two surprises...
auto mechanic related.
Yes.
We're grown ass adults. We've had car problems over the years.
We've never had them happen simultaneously.
Same damn time.
Literally within hours of each other.
We don't know the answer to yours yet.
No.
That one's going to require an auto mechanic.
Mine has this thing where when I turn it on, and it happened out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
It starts making this roaring sound, like a fan on the highest setting is going.
That's exactly what is happening.
Yeah. And also, when I turn my Suburban off, the engine doesn't shut down. It's like, okay,
neither
I'm going to keep going.
Nor the fan. It's just like, and it's not like this is a 1986 Suburban.
No. It probably would hold up better if it was, if we're being honest.
Yeah, probably would.
So that's going to require a trip to the professionals.
Yeah, that's first thing. Well, this
as
morning,
you're listening,
as you're listening, it's already there getting the TLC it needs.
Now, Lola herself, she had a little, she gave us a little scare.
I have both a bitch and a praise about Jeep, about Chrysler.
Mm-hmm.
So, at no one's request, literally, Jeep in 2018, midway through 2018 is when Jeep transitioned from the JK, which was the prior model body type, which had lasted for years, to the JL, which is still current at this point. Any Jeep Wrangler you buy will be a JL right now. Again, at no request from anyone, because nobody buys a Jeep for gas mileage.
No. Like no one buys a Suburban for gas mileage.
It's a cracker box, right? It's a cracker box. It is a brick that goes down the road. This is not why you buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You buy it not for mileage, but for smileage. Huh? Yeah, you like
did,
that?
Did you just make that up?
Nah, other people have referenced it.
Oh, okay.
But no, I don't think anybody did so as dad jokey as I did.
Yes.
Well, they introduced the ESS, the electronic start-stop feature. So when you come to a complete stop with your foot on the brake, it kills the engine.
Right.
And then when you let off the brake, it restarts so you can drive. And as studies have proven since mid-2018, it actually saves no gasoline, period.
So it's just a big pain in the ass.
It's just a big pain in the ass. In fact, there's a million hacks for how to turn that damn anti-feature off that I think nearly everyone has pursued, even those who don't like to do any mods to their Jeeps. But to make this system work, it requires a dual battery system in the Jeep. You have your main battery, and then you have your auxiliary battery. Main battery is the same big old battery in everybody's car. The auxiliary battery is like the equivalency of a motorcycle battery or something. It's small. Fine, good, whatever. They've put them in a situation where electronically they go into parallel, which means they must both be working, or they will neither one of them work.
Right.
And that's what happened to me. Mm-hmm. My auxiliary battery went out, which then wrecks your main battery.
Right.
So you got to replace them both, and it ain't cheap. And it's a giant pain in the ass because in terms of location, if they would have at least just had them both readily accessible under the hood, that's a thing.
Yeah.
But no. They buried the auxiliary battery. You got to take the main battery out. Then you got to take out the fuse box in three different parts. Then you got to take out another protective plate from there and then reach down through. It's literally a corridor of knives to try to grab the last thing and pull it out, not bleed to death before you can replace it, get it connected, and do the whole process in reverse.
Dadgum.
Yeah.
And today you did accomplish it.
Today I did it. And I did it in less than an hour. I felt like pretty hot shit for having done so at the same time. I don't think next time I'll go the option of not paying someone else to do it.
Right. I was going to say, you did it in less than an hour, and your body is now wrecked.
Yeah. There's no convenient way to do all that without staying in constant dorsal flexion for the kinesiologists out there. My low back, my hamstrings, my old man butt, it's all sore and fatigued now.
But you did it.
I did it. It's done.
Yes.
One thing, though, so that was the gripe. The praise.
Oh.
The praise.
Yes.
Jeeps are known as kind of a Lego vehicle. You put together what you want, you change, you adapt, you do things. That whole process took minimal tools.
Yeah.
Minimal tools. Literally two different sockets and one socket wrench and an extension. So even if I had no tools, for less than $50, I could have purchased all the tools to do that. Super, super easy. Super intuitive how the process works. It's just a stupid process because there was no reason to me, one, to have the battery because nobody wanted electronic stop-start, and two, no reason to bury the auxiliary battery down in the guts of the vehicle. And if there is a Jeeper listening that's like, well, what we figured out is you can just take the fender off, the fender flare off and go in through the bottom and you have to do all that. It takes the same damn amount of time.
Okay.
So back off.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Are you okay? Are you good?
I'm good. I'm good.
All right. Lastly, Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. It's a special time.
It's in the past now for all of us as you're listening.
Thank goodness. Thanksgiving for that.
Thanksgiving for that.
I did go to the county jail.
For your ministry?
For my ministry.
Yeah.
I was not incarcerated.
Wait, you were there on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Then if you were, you missed the culinary apex of my life.
Oh, I didn't miss it. And I don't mean that like I didn't miss it because it wasn't worthy of being missed.
Yeah.
I was here for that part. My prison trip was later.
I want you to not talk and not interrupt while I'm saying this.
Good luck with that.
I historically am not like a great cook.
Untrue.
No, I said don't interrupt.
Well, I can't sit by and let falsehoods be spoken.
I can make things, okay?
Everything you want to make, you make the hell out of it.
Okay, that's a fair way to say it. Cooking, baking, kitchen creationing, it's not my bag. Like,
it's not your fun time.
It's not my fun time at all. I can
Baths,
do it.
That's your fun time.
Hell yes. I am.
If you could cook a turkey in the tub. This tastes like Epsom salts.
Exactly, yes. Ooh, it'd be such a great brine. Mm-hmm. I am an unrepentant bubble bath hobbyist. Cooking is just not, like, it's not my thing. It doesn't feed my soul. It is just very pragmatic for me. It's whatever. And so when I say I'm not, like, historically, like, oh, you got it. Meg's cooking. Everyone wants to come over. Now, you are a cook to the level where people are like, please, God.
They say that out of courtesy.
Catherine, my best friend.
They say it like you would say that an ugly kid is cute.
Catherine, my best friend, on the regular.
She's a liar. I love her.
No,
she's a liar.
She regularly pleads for some creation of yours. She prefers jambalaya, but she will take your chicken soup. What else have
that
we taken over there?
A brand new creation. There was no way she could have ever asked for,
like,
that.
Like anything, their whole family is just like, all praise Kyle.
They're kind.
Thanksgiving, because of stuff and things,
it's
and
a special time.
And where you are in your work cycle and the work that you've been doing that's requiring a lot of time and mental energy, family dynamics being what they are, as it turns out, I was hosting Thanksgiving this year.
Mm-hmm.
In our house and with our food.
In our damn house.
It was the first time in my life, I'm 45 years old, the first time I've ever cooked a turkey, roasted a turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Or
even fried any version.
Any version of it.
You've made turkey sandwiches.
Yeah, with lunch meat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Honey glazed.
Let alone have I've never made a stuffing besides a stovetop stuffing, which if you like a stovetop stuffing, more power to you. They're delicious.
Yeah, slam against stovetop.
It's wildly popular for a reason. It has never been my thing.
You've always made the hell out of mashed potatoes.
No, you're thinking of someone else.
No,
I cannot cook
a
white potato to save my life.
That's not true.
Well, I can make instant potatoes.
Well, whatever it is you do to instant potatoes with cream cheese and butter and things, you make a damn good potato, okay? Just accept it.
That's fair. I take the instant potato base. The thing is, like, I just cannot cook. There's two things I cannot cook. Chicken and white potatoes.
And tiramisu. There's three things.
I've made tiramisu. No, you have. Okay.
I didn't.
Anyway.
Who could dare? It's like a chocolate ice cream lasagna. It's fragile. It's beautiful.
Yes.
Or am I thinking of something else?
I don't know what you're thinking of.
I don't know.
You think on that while I say...
Ice cream's good.
I posted on my public Facebook page that I was planning to make the turkey this year. I'd never made one before. I was going to even try to make it ahead. My very, very long-time blogging friend from way back in the day... Her name's Ame, and she has had...
She's the original Pioneer Woman.
She is better than the Pioneer Woman, let's
That's what
all
I'm
be
saying.
Honest.
That's
yes.
What I'm saying.
She has a longtime cooking, food and cooking blog called Simple Bites. She low-key sent me her how to roast a turkey recipe, and then followed up by sending me a graphic from Cooks Illustrated on Instagram saying, this is how you dry brine a turkey. Don't do it. Don't stop at 24 hours, my friends. Do a 48-hour salt dry brine.
And don't forget to ram your fingers up under the skin.
Yeah, I did forget that part. I'll
you
do that next time. Yeah.
Great.
I followed Ame's instructions to the T.
Mm-hmm.
The turkey turned out.
Listen, I hate turkey. If we had any one of the many apocalypses that are quite honestly bound to happen any day now, and all that was left to eat was turkey. It's like, you can survive the apocalypse, but it'll be eating turkey. I would choose to die early in the apocalypse and just not do it. That turkey was good.
Thank you. That means
Did I want
me.
Seconds? No. That's because it's turkey.
Yes.
That was good turkey.
Thank you for saying that. That was the most expensive dish that the turkey was, a 15-pound mm-hmm. fresh turkey.
Well, thanks.
From Costco. But the second most expensive dish was one that AJ
holy shit
found on the TikToks.
I'm sorry. Holy feces.
AJ found a recipe on TikTok for homemade mac and cheese. It was a five uh-huh. cheese mac and cheese.
Five. And not like use a half a cup of
oh,
five
no.
different cheeses.
Oh, no. It was a whole cup of all five. Not a whole cup. It was a whole pound, like 8 ounces. Half a pound. Mm. Half a pound, 8 ounces.
Grated, it was more than
a
cup.
So that's a cup.
It was more than a cup grated.
Okay.
There were five paper plates that we used to house all the gratings, and they were heaping.
Yes.
Any one of them would have made a delightful dish of redneck nachos.
Oh, my gosh. The cheese involved. So again,
this, we haven't pooped since Thanksgiving. Just saying.
So this was a TikTok recipe, and the five cheeses were cheddar, mm-hmm. mozzarella,
yeah,
Colby Jack, mm-hmm. smoked Gruyere.
Oh no, you didn't.
Yeah, and mozzarella.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is also the kind of mac and cheese where you make a roux. To begin your, there's a special French term, and I know the Awesome Today fam will show up what the term is, where you make that cream sauce mm-hmm. that's flour and butter, which starts as a roux, and then you add cream, like literal heavy whipping cream to mm-hmm. it. Okay. And the spices and all of the
it's
things.
It's gravy.
And it was so good.
Is what it is.
Yes.
I mean, what's gravy? Gravy is
flour
fat
and fat.
And flour.
Yes.
And fat and flour.
Yes.
And milk, maybe.
Okay, so the mac and cheese, I think it turned out pretty spectacular.
It was.
I did the semi-homemade stuffing, mm-hmm. the sweet potatoes, the mashed potatoes, store-bought dinner rolls.
Sweet potatoes with all the marshmallowy goodness.
Of course, as my mother would insist upon, and mm-hmm. I feel like she was proud of that. The one thing that I was the most nervous about, maybe even more nervous than the turkey, and I was real nervous
wearing
about the turkey.
With no pants?
No.
Because that was awkward.
Yes,
your
for everyone.
Was like, what is happening?
The thing that I was had anxiety dreams about was making the turkey gravy from scratch.
And you, it was literally like freshly squeezed turkey milk. Isn't that where gravy comes from?
Pretty sure, yes. So all in all, I was very pleased with myself that it all came together.
Listen, anybody could say, well, look, Kyle's compliments, let's be honest, objectivity and obligations and stuff.
Yeah.
There was no one at this table from your father who's in his 70s, past your sister, her husband, your children all the way down to three. Everyone was like, that's a damn good dinner.
Yes,
that's how they said it.
They did, all of them.
As they smoked, while they ate.
Yeah.
They were Marlboro Reds. That's the smoke of choice for our family.
Yes. So Thanksgiving 2022 is in the books, and I don't know if I ever want to do the whole dinner again. And my sister and Matt did bring desserts, and so we did have dessert. It's just that I was like, I'm not doing that part.
So you and I share then, like, I changed the hell out of the two batteries in the Jeep. And you cook the hell out of Thanksgiving dinner. We know we can do it now.
Yep.
And we're like, okay,
that's
did that.
That's exactly how I feel about
and
it.
If I never do it again, that's fine.
Yes.
I'd be perfectly fine next year for Thanksgiving if we're like, oh, we're hosting again. We didn't really want to, but that's fine. We'll host again. And we just paid Thanksgiving.com however much money, and they're just delivering all the stuff.
I would be totally happy with that. I honestly would. We've had non-traditional Thanksgivings in the past. We've mm-hmm. had steak. We've had, like, Italian, because we both hate turkey.
Yes.
But I do feel like, you know what? This wasn't actually a bucket list item for me, because, again, I don't like to cook, and I don't like turkey. But now I do feel like that sense of, like, it was a challenge, and mm-hmm. I did it.
I kicked its ass.
Yeah, so.
And you did.
Thank you.
Robustly. Were you wearing boots?
I was wearing
steel-toed?
My Burke Tokios. I was channeling the chef. I was channeling the bear.
Okay. That fits. That makes sense. Because I bet he could cook.
Oh, God.
A hell of a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, I bet he could. Okay, that's all I've got. How about you?
I think that's it. Is that everything?
I think so.
Going to the high-pitched voice?
Yeah, I was going to say, when you go into that octave, I think we're done. Okay. What should everyone do in the meantime?
Well, recover. From whatever you've been through, make the other family members chip in on bail money for whatever just happened at Thanksgiving, and know that it may happen again at Christmas, so plan ahead.
Yes.
And send everyone a Christmas card with not an IOU, but a you owe me, for just a few bucks to set the bank up for the next incident. And then have a damn awesome Advent, would you?
Oh, please do. You did. What the heck? Okay, please do. Bye.
Thank you. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.